your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart. For tread the circle thrice about, to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet everybody and welcome. My guest tonight is Faye Johnston, and we're beginning talking about shamanic Reiki drumming, which happens to be the title of her new book. Faye combines over 20 years of Reiki practice with elemental Qigong, plant medicine, and creative shamanism to bring the healing power of nature to assist us in our personal transformation. The path of the drum and Reiki led Faye to connect even more deeply with nature and plants. She's the author of Plant Spirit Reiki and Plants That Speak, Plants That Sing, and she offers training and retreats from her garden in Fife, Scotland. Hi, Faye. Welcome back.
Hi. Really nice to connect with you again, Martha. Great.
Yeah, well, you know, it was last time we were talking about Plant Spirit Reiki, but when did you discover Reiki drumming?
Well, you know, in a sense, for me, the shamanic aspect of my energy healing practice, that really started to change things. And for me, it wasn't long. It was about 2008. So this is actually kind of 8 years into my Reiki practice. I just, like many people, I got quite curious about what shamanism was. And, I started following the nudges. And interestingly, I have to sidestep a little bit because way back in my 20s, I had had an experience in Ecuador with a shamanic healer, with a curandero in Ecuador. And that was an actual game changer for me. And it kind of opened my eyes to this, there is other realities, there are other ways of being in the world, as you can imagine it would. So it took me a long while, many years after that, to kind of find my way into it through kind of Western practices. And it brought me to the Reiki drum in 2009. So the Reiki drum is a technique where we can combine Reiki and work with the drum in the Reiki practice. And for me, what happened is I studied this for, you know, I did the training for a weekend, but it kind of opened up such a can of, you know, it suddenly opened all these questions for me. And this real connection to the spirit world. And so I just kind of had to know more. And so that was where, in a sense, my shamanic path. And that's why I call the practice I do shamanic Reiki drumming, because I'm a Reiki practitioner. So in a sense, when I'm in the shamanic, sort of working with shamanic techniques like the drum, I'm not simply just working with sort of the shamanic techniques. I am a Reiki practitioner. So therefore, I call it shamanic Reiki. And then this book focuses on that tool, the drum, which is one of the shamanic tools which we can use. So that's kind of a very long way of answering your question as to how this path came about. But, you know, when we're on this path, we are always learning, and this path, as you know, it's led by our guides, it's led by spirit. So it's just a case of kind of following those nudges, and, you know, it does lead us to specific teachers and places and practices. And that's how we sort of stay aligned with our path, is by listening. And it's not always easy to listen and follow, but that trust is what we need to lean into for the path, I think.
Yeah, and you know, the drum is magical. And it's an ancient tool, and healing with sound has been around forever. So it's really neat that the two together are making a partnership and working really well about it.
Yeah, I think that's what I find really magical about when you're combining Reiki. So we've got this kind of intuitive way of healing with energy. And then the sound, you know, sound is a, you know, we know that we're a vibration. We're a conscious vibration. We're moving energy. I'm not my body. You know, I am actually something much more magical than that. And when we look at sound, sound is a moving vibration. It's traveling. And so it's really fascinating working with the drum or other instruments. You might have listeners who work, you know, go to gong baths, for example, or work with bells and chimes and even the power of the voice. You know, this is a healing, the healing power of sound. And then obviously combining it with using it as a shamanic tool brings in the element of shamanism, brings in that connection to intuition and this connection to the spirit worlds, which is connecting us to guides that can help us bring healing and wisdom into our personal life or into working with clients to help them too.
So is there a difference, a great difference between Reiki drumming and sound healing?
Well, I suppose, yes, the element of Reiki is there. In a sense, I mean, I suppose with sound healing, you're exposing, you know, you can use a variety of different instruments. Reiki drumming is specifically working with the handheld drum. And there are different techniques within that. I mean, I'm not, if you like, a sound healer or a qualified sound healer. So I couldn't tell you what techniques are involved in sound healing. I'm sort of only really connected to working shamanically and working with the drum. So, yeah, I imagine with sound healing, you're using perhaps different instruments. But with the wonderful thing really about working when you're combining Reiki and the drum, what I love is, in a sense, we're able to kind of sandwich the treatment with Reiki. And I mean that when I'm working with a client, I will use Reiki, work with Reiki at the beginning of a session, because that is very relaxing for a client. It really helps them ground. And often, if a client's very sensitive, they will almost feel that Reiki energy working way before they've even, you know, got themselves settled on the couch, you know, because it's just powered by our intention. And as soon as that client is kind of focused on their intention and what their healing needs are in our sacred space, they start to relax and the Reiki will already be flowing. So I love to, so what I'm saying, just to explain what I mean by sandwiching the drum in, mm-hmm. I can, you know, we can start with some Reiki to relax the client and get them in that special space. And then I bring in the drum, which can do its magical transformative magic, because, you know, the drum, you know, we know the drum can be a really loud sound. It can be, we can drum it very, very quickly, or we can be gentle. And the wonderful thing about that is that because sound doesn't stop at the body, it moves, it has this ability to move energy. So if there's stagnation, sometimes if a client has been, you know, energy is blocked or stagnant, the drum is can be a very powerful force for change. And I always actually remind clients that actually can happen, you know, beware, you know, because actually the drum is a force for change. And so I'll do, you know, half of the treatment with a drum, and then I usually then will finish the treatment with some Reiki. So that's the difference. You know, if you're doing a sound healing, you're only really focused on the sound element. Mm-hmm. And you'll obviously bring that, you know, it will be relaxing and it will reach a crescendo and do the things which, you know, the sound healers are qualified to do. But then with Reiki, we can actually end, you know, I sort of sandwich the treatment. So I've got Reiki to complete the treatment to help the client ground and integrate and come back into this reality, because definitely with Reiki and the drum, the client will journey. It will take them on a journey. It will take them into another reality, to an expanded state of consciousness. And it's our job to bring the client back. And that's why Reiki, the sort of nurturing, energy of Reiki will help integrate that healing and bring the client back. So that's how I like to work with it, and that's how it could be different to perhaps your regular sound healing.
Okay. So do people have to be shamanistic or a Reiki master to pick up this book and start learning?
No, not at all. Even though, you know, the title Shamanic Reiki Drumming, I wanted to write the book really to give people a good guide. So what I talk about in the book is I do obviously talk about Reiki. It's designed to be read by a Reiki practitioner who would be interested in introducing the drum or kind of dipping their toe, if you like, into what is shamanism, what are some shamanic techniques that they can use. So if someone's new to shamanism, it'll be very helpful in terms of giving them some pointers. If they've never picked up a drum before, for example, I've even got a section on tells you, you know, what to look for when you're buying a drum and what the differences are and various different ways that we could play the drum, for example. So I've aimed it, if you like, at Reiki, people who are Reiki level two. And that is because someone who's Reiki level two is likely to be working with clients. They're likely to be treating more than just friends and family. So they might want to know tips about how they could think about bringing the drum into their professional practice. So there is a section on, you know, working with clients and how that can help change. And I do also mention the Reiki symbols, and these are generally taught for Reiki level two and above, and to master level. So that, however, if you are just attuned to Reiki level one and you're interested in drumming, the book will give you loads of pointers about how to get started. And obviously, as we know with this work, Reiki and our shamanic practice and any other practices are activated by our intention. So that with all of this, intention is key. So anyone sort of with the intention to work with the drum, whether they're Reiki attuned or not, actually will find the book helpful. There'll be useful tips for them in the book about how to work with the drum.
Yeah, and I kind of tag that by saying that people don't need to be a musician to start combining the drum with the Reiki either. It's just talk about that, the actual drumming itself.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. Thanks for bringing that in, because I think some people expect me to be a musician. You know, when I sort of say, Faye, you do drumming, and I think, oh no, here we go. Someone's going to put me in front of a drum kit and expect, you know, something amazing to come out of me. And so I sort of qualify that by saying, you know, I work with a handheld frame drum, and you know, I use a beater, or I sometimes use my hand. And obviously, there's different ways that we can hold the drum when we're working with somebody. But yeah, so we're not trying to create, if you like, music. What we're doing, the drum as a shamanic tool, it works by using a repetitive beat, which then actually works magic on our brainwaves. It shifts our brainwaves from the state of beta into alpha, and then theta and delta, if we're going further into a state of trance or a state of deeper expanded state of consciousness. And that is what we are doing when we are drumming. We are connecting, if you like, if we ourselves or working with a client, to this the universal field, if you like, of vibration. This, you know, we know we're not separate. We know we're connected by a kind of universal, I call it the universal field. It's a consciousness, this one consciousness. And actually, that is what the drum beat, a repetitive drum beat, is doing. And in shamanic practice, we talk about the drum leading us on what we call a journey. The drum is able to take us there. And this is why I like to say we're not actually playing music. We're not trying to play a nice tune. You know, if we want to play a nice tune to relax somebody, that's different. And also, you get with sound healing, for example, we get the binaural beats, which are a certain frequency which is has been shown to, you know, shift the brain waves and send us into deep relaxation and so on. But with the drum, when we're working in this context that I'm next talking about, we're working with the drum very specifically to help us expand, shift our brain waves, get into an expanded state of consciousness, rather like somebody might if they were a Sufi dancer and they were getting into a trance state. So there are many different ways that we can get into trance states. And in fact, for us, when we're practicing Western shamanism, which is what this is a technique from, that working with the drum is a very simple and safe, easy way, a very accessible way that many of us can access that sort of journey state, is what we call that. So yeah, we're not playing music, but what I do feel is that, you know, the way I explain it to people is that each of us, as a conscious being, as this beautiful ball of energy that we are, we all have our own special song that we are singing. We're an orchestra. The organs in my body, they're playing a different song. They have a different frequency. They vibrate at slightly different frequencies. And what happens over time is we're born this amazing, beautiful, wonderful being in our original state. And then what happens over time, as we know, we get bumps and bruises and we have traumas, big and small. Events happen to us that start to shape us and they start to shift us. And they actually affect frequency that we carry in our bodies. And so as a result, if you like, we can start to actually sound off key to ourselves. We're not playing at the same, at the frequency, our original frequency. And this over time can cause, it can cause mental and emotional upset. And then it can lead to actually disease in the body, because the vibration of the body isn't really alive and harmonious in the way that it was born to be. And what I really feel happens when we connect with the drum is the drum connects us to this original, the original music, if you like, that our body, that our being was born to play. So it's because it connects us to this universal one, this universal field of consciousness, it like brings in a memory. And so that is why it engenders deep healing, really at source, at root level, and can be very transformative for people to experience.
And you know, as we're talking, I'm thinking about babies, okay? Mm-hmm. What do? They like to bang things, you know, they'll take their hands, toddlers, or, you know, bang on anything they can. So, you know, we're kind of born drummers, maybe not in the same way that we're thinking or talking about now, but, you know, people like to make noise.
Making noise, yeah. I feel like we underestimate how powerful noise and sound is, actually. And also, we're so used to the frequency that we can hear that we forget, you know, there's a lot of sound going on that we can't hear. Like for, you know, animals, birds, you know, we know with dolphins and whales, for example, they hear a completely different frequency to us as well. So what we mustn't assume, if you like, that no sound that we can hear means things are silent, because the world isn't silent. And that's what's quite interesting as well to understand that you're actually, it's like with colour, we only see a certain range of colour, don't we? That actually the spectrum's much bigger. And it's like that with sound as well. Yeah, and I'm sure that as, I don't know what it's like as young children, whether we hear less or whether we hear more, I don't know that aspect of it.
Yeah, we're just drawn to it, you know. We have to make noise. Maybe it's to get attention or whatever, but it's there. that's how it works. All right, so let's talk a minute about drums, because suppose somebody get the book and can't afford to buy a drum. Can they make a makeshift drum? Like, you know, when kids turn over a pail and start banging on them, or can any other percussion instrument be used instead?
Well, you know, that is a great question. I'm very fortunate. I've found drums even coming to me because that's how, you know, these special kind of sacred instruments sometimes, you know, it sometimes works like that, doesn't it? I've also been fortunate enough to make my own drum when I was living in Nova Scotia. Particularly during hunting season, there was not a shortage of deer hide available. So we were able to work with that. I hadn't really given it thought that you could make your own drum. I certainly I'd recommend people make their own rattle. If you want to work with a rattle, that is the easiest thing to make, even just by having, you know, things like dry pasta, dry seeds, dried beans, for example, in a jar, or even, a pill bottle, you know, you can shake that and that's actually going to make a rattle sound. Or even using what I actually love to use is plants like dried plants or seed heads, because they make interesting sounds. And I'm sure any sound healers listening will be nodding, saying, yeah, you know, it's really great to work with natural kind of products. But yes, I actually don't see any reason why somebody couldn't turn a bucket over and start using that as a drum. Because, yeah, if you're, like we're saying, if you're not trying to make music, if you're trying to access a state of expanded consciousness through the repetitive beat, I don't see why you can't do that. And also, there are some really, if we want to practice what I call the shamanic journey, which is this way of accessing this expanded state of consciousness through the working with the drum, we can listen to drumming tracks. You know, there are many tracks on the internet or on streaming providers from practitioners that you can listen to, that you can work with, so that you can, if you like, hone your skills at getting and accessing this state of expanded state of consciousness that you would through the drum. And in fact, when I first connected with shamanism all those years ago, you know, it was back in the day when we had cassette tapes. So I had a cassette tape of probably a badly recorded version of my teacher drumming on cassette, and I would listen to that, and that was just to practice. It's like with all these techniques that we learn to master them, like meditation, you know, you need to practice, you need to kind of train your brain or train your skills to, you know, train your brain to quieten down and it's something about the what do you call them, pathways in the brain, you know, creating pathways in the brain that help you do things more easily. So certainly I would recommend, if someone's interested in learning the shamanic journey, that they definitely, you know, can listen on the internet to MP3s and so on. They don't even need to drum for themselves. But obviously, when you do pick up a drum, for me, it was life changing. You know, it was like, wow. And many people I listen to, you know, they connect with me through my book, or because, like, you know, I have an online course where I teach this. And it's really, they just say, you know, they're called to work with the drum. There's something in that the beat of the drum that is innate, that kind of calls us to action. And, you know, and it is documented through, you know, we see it on the temples in Egypt, in carvings and so on. And we see it on cave paintings from ancient Babylonia. You know, we see people with the drum. So it's somewhere in our DNA, there are drummers. And when I open sacred space, I call in those drummers, the women who were drummers. The men can come too, but I like the women to be there, you know, because they were the ones who were the sacred wisdom keepers in these ancient cultures that had the drum. So I find it really fascinating. Whatever calls us to our pathway, it's very interesting to honor that.
Yeah, that's very important to do that too. We're going to take a break in about 5 minutes, but a couple of chapters of the book are dedicated to personal healing, working with the drum in self-Reiki practice. You know, some people say that they can't do their own healing. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, isn't it? I think I would agree that there are some things which are quite hard for us to look at in terms of our personal healing, but I feel that that's the one of the almost like the backbones of Reiki practice is actually, first and foremost, it's, you know, certainly when we are attuned to Reiki level one, it's for you as a personal development tool, really, because it's teaching us really about the light inside of us. And I certainly know from my shamanic practice, one of my biggest learnings from my shamanic practice was really experiencing how much love I held in my heart. And I had no idea about that. So in a sense, for me, I think that's why in the book I wanted to include these various chapters on personal healing, because for us, when we're on our spiritual path, many of us are called to, you know, we want to work with others, we want to share our amazing healing gifts. But actually, I think it's really important for us to address our own issues. And it's through healing those, really, that we end up being in that position that we can help others with those too. And I'm sure many of your listeners who are working in as a healer will realize and know that the people who we end up attracting end up almost that they can trigger us if we haven't actually looked at those wounds in ourselves or dealt with those issues. And they can also they will also be attracted to us because we have a story about having healed something or overcome something that has inspired them because they need that healing too. So I feel that it's really important, and yes, we can do it. And actually, that's the wonderful thing about working in areas like this, is we have a network of people who can help us. So I think we perhaps sometimes it's hard for us. We have to be really authentic, and it's quite hard for us to see where we need healing sometimes because we can be stuck and we can have the blinkers on. But, you know, stepping into our power, reclaiming these parts of ourselves is all part of the journey of kind of walking in the light of, as a healer, and sharing these gifts with others. So that's why, yeah, I've put these chapters in the book so that we can, you know, I suppose, yes, really make ourselves a priority, because it's in caring for ourselves that we are kind of able to shine fully and care for others.
Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite ways of working with the drum?
Oh, goodness. Well, actually, for me, I really love connecting with nature. As you know from my other books, you know, Plants That Speak, Souls That Sing, and Plant Spirit Reiki, the drum really led me. It opened, obviously, Reiki opened up so much for me. Then my shamanic practice with the drum, you know, opens up more, and connection to guides and my intuition and so on. But for me, when I'm drumming out in nature, that is my happy place. That helps me connect not just to the earth and the elements that are around me, but really to these parts of myself. It really helps me feel deeply connected and, you know, part of something so much greater than me, which in a sense is helping me remember who I really am. And that is why I think that's why I've got there's a whole chapter in the book really about connecting to nature, because it's so important. And when I was writing the book, my guides told me that they said there'll be a chapter on, you know, working with nature, and it's the most important chapter in the book.
And just right before we leave for break, do you only have one drum, or do you switch out, or you know, some people have something that works and they don't go other routes, but
I was gonna say, what a silly question. Of course I don't only have one drum. I have it's interesting, I have a drum that I specifically call, if you like, my Reiki drum. It's a drum that I teach with. It's the drum that I was gifted when I did my Reiki drum training weekend, you know, in 2009. And then I have a drum that I made. So the drum I have sort of different, and then I have, you know, and then I have a drum that I travel with, I have another drum that I teach with, I have a Celtic drum. I have an ocean drum. So each drum is very specific. I will use the drum depending on whether it's just a personal healing for me, or whether it's with a client, perhaps whether I'm teaching, or whether there's a very specific element which needs healing, or whether there's an issue, sort of a healing issue. And then I will know, okay, for some reason I need to use this drum, and this is, you know, so it's very different. Even though to somebody on the outside it might be, oh, it's just a drum, you know, they speak to us, they communicate with us, they become us, particularly drums, actually, that if we've made an instrument, for example, any tool that we've made, we have an energetic connection with. And you know, that's one of the things I suggest in the book, is if you start working with a drum, you need to kind of attune to that drum. You need to invite the spirit of that drum to connect with you and find out how can we work together? What's your power? What can you teach me? Have you got a name? You know, all these questions that we can actually ask our instruments, because they are guides for us. They're going to be the tools that connect us to a deeper awareness of ourselves. So working with drums, it's magical. And so, yes, we find sometimes that we seem to attract them, and we will accumulate these tools because they're all necessary for whatever work we're kind of dealing with at the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes good sense. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. So everybody don't go away, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Way, there's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I wasn't prepared, but I knew I had to be strong.
When I was told about John's injury, I was in complete shock. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For thousands of severely injured veterans, everyday life is filled with barriers.
It was really the little things throughout the house. Counters that you can't roll up to.
I had to drag my wheelchair down steps.
I want to help, but he is so determined.
At Homes for Our Troops, we build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and automatic door openers that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
This house has given me my family back.
To learn more, visit hfotusa.org.
Throughout time, events have occurred that have shaped human history. Spirit voices from the past have many stories to tell, and for the past several years, channelers Barry and Connie Strom have been conducting live channeling sessions and relaying those stories and messages from those on the other side. We invite you to tune in to Barry and Connie's new show, Channeling History, on the Para-X Radio Network, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as they relay the messages of those voices from the past, the ones who have witnessed history firsthand, and those who have made history themselves.
Hey everyone, it's Marla. If you like tonight's episode of Stirring the Cauldron and the archive podcast as well, take a look at the show's YouTube channel and check out the dozens of shows that are there just waiting to be heard. New shows are added each week, and while you're there, why not subscribe? It's free. And if you click on that tiny little bell icon at the top of the page, you'll be notified when new shows are available. Just go to youtube.com and then type in Stirring the Cauldron Para X and the link will appear. Just like magic.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And my guest tonight is Faye Johnston, and we're talking about her book, Shamanic Reiki Drumming. There's a chapter in the book giving guidance on holding drum circles. Now, somebody was knowing that you were going to be on here, and it's a solitary practitioner, and wants to know if it's the same results if you do the drumming by yourself as opposed to the circle.
Oh, great question. Well, actually, gosh, I would say no. I would say actually there's so much love. I mean, even thinking about drum circles now is making my heart expand and I'm feeling excited. So I feel that there's great power when we can come together in community, whatever that might be, whether it's to share a meal, meditate, dance, you know. So actually bringing people together to connect with the power of the drum is has much more potency really than just working with your, you know, working as a solitary practitioner. And but it depends, you know, for the drum circles that I in my experience have held really I used to say, look, just come. You don't need to have a drum. Just come to experience the drum. So the drum circles, which I used to hold or still hold, generally are people coming just because they want to kind of lie down, experience the drum, receive healing, go on a journey, connect with whatever intention we're working with. Or maybe it's because they want to take part in a seasonal ceremony and they know there'll be drumming and connection there, for example. And so those circles, they don't need somebody to participate by using a drum and work. So there are different ways that we can kind of create drumming circles. So obviously that would have a different outcome. But I would say, regardless, I think bringing people together has great power, especially if everybody is coming with a shared intention, especially perhaps, you know, sometimes we gather in Reiki shares to give and receive and exchange healing with each other. We can do the same with the drum. And actually, I know that many of the Reiki shares that I've either hosted or participated in the past have been because we wanted to send distance healing to specific situations or environmental spaces or political zones, for example, war zones, or, you know, areas which were kind of under threat to send healing. And actually, that's that, you know, obviously, when you do that, it's amplified if you're gathering with others. And the same can happen when we're drumming and we want to send healing as part of our drumming circle. That's obviously going to be amplified. So I think really, yeah, wherever you can gather people, make merry, gather like-minded people together to experience the drum. And if people have got drums and want to come and bring them along and drum together, that's brilliant. But like I said, the ones I've held or used to hold, you know, I used to hold a regular circle in Edinburgh, and it was for people on a Friday evening who needed to relax. They wanted to connect. They wanted to ground. They wanted to kind of clear away their busy week and feel kind of rebalanced in themselves and connected. And that was what the drumming was doing. And actually, you know, and we were doing that, if you like, as a group. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, no, it does very well. What kind of health issues can shamanic Reiki help?
Oh, goodness gracious. So many. So what I found, particularly the drum, what I find it particularly useful for, actually, is anyone who is suffering from feeling just like they're not really themselves, they're out of sorts, they feel disconnected, they feel withdrawn, they might feel lonely, depressed. So I guess, I'm going to sort of qualify this by saying mild mental health issues, because obviously if someone's got serious mental health issues and they want to seek medical assistance, you know, that's very important. But I would say, you know, if someone's anxious, stressed, people, what the drum helps us to do is really align with our truth. It can help retrieve us, kind of bring us back to kind of almost like, you know, sometimes people are like, oh gosh, well, I don't know, I used to feel much happier, or I used to sort of not feel so burdened by this, or I don't know, I used to love painting pictures, and I don't know, I just guess I don't do that anymore. So the drum is brilliant at bringing us back those pieces of ourselves, those lovely, lovely soul pieces that we have lost along the way. And so this can display sometimes in you know, people who are depressed and they're just not themselves and so on, and or anxious. And also it can really help align people with, you know, people who are floating, not quite sure what they want to do with their lives, or just feeling like they're down in the dumps because actually they know that there's something so much sort of out there for them. They know that there's more to life than this and they just haven't quite found it yet. I'm probably describing myself many years ago, aren't I?
Well, that's it starts somewhere, right?
Yeah. And it really helps, I think, give us confidence, because oftentimes, you know, life happens. We have a disappointment. We might miss out on what we thought was a big opportunity. We get overseen at work. We might get overpowered. We might get bullied, things like this. And actually, the drum helps us to kind of find our power again. It helps us find that light again. And so those kind of situations, and it really sort of helped turn the lights on and bring back, it brought back so much, if you like, sunshine and curiosity and excitement and also confidence in myself, because I was feeling much more connected to who I was. I had a bigger, if you like, perspective on life, a much larger perspective on life. It wasn't suddenly tunnel vision. It was this much larger perspective on life and much more confidence in myself, because I was kind of connecting with my intuition again. I was believing in myself again. And I think that's really, really important for people moving forwards, you know, aligning really with ourselves rather than aligning with perhaps what society has molded us, the shape that we've been molded into. That certainly working in this way shamanically helps you find your original song. You know, and what I say really, you know, working with the drum helps you start dancing to the beat of your own drum. And it really is true.
Yeah, no, that's great. All right. So you also, we were talking a little bit about guides, you mentioned, and there are exercises throughout the book for many, many things, many exercises. And one of which is meeting the spirit of your drum. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So I kind of touched on this before, you know, when we connect with a drum, or even if it's another instrument that we want to work with, or a rattle, or, you know, even sometimes if we have, you know, Tibetan bells, sometimes people use those to clear a space, or even a crystal. You know, it's the same concept. We want to connect with this, the drum or the crystal, because it's actually has a certain frequency, it has an energy, it has a history. And particularly if we're working with a drum, for example, which is made of animal hide, and it's made of wood, you know, I know if for example, the drum I have that I've made that's made of the deer hide, I know the story of that deer. I know the wood that it's from because I know the man who made the frame. I even dyed the drum head with black walnut. So there's a story in there. There's a history in there. There's lots of elements in there. And so there's a unique quality to this instrument. And so connecting with the drum, and again, you know, if you weren't working shamanically, you might do this through meditation, you might do this through sense, you know, exploring your special senses. But we do this by, you know, we connect with the drum by playing the drum and then just really opening, I call them opening our shamanic senses. You know, we're not looking with our human eyes, we're looking with that inner vision. We're not listening with our human ears. I call it my shamanic senses. I'm listening, and I'm listening with my heart, and feeling my way. It's very much a sensory experience when we work shamanically. And a lot of people say to me, oh, I can't really do it because, you know, I'm not visual. And I say, well, you know, when we journey with the drum, when we go into these expanded states, we're not watching a movie. This is a whole sensory experience for ourselves. And some people are very visual, and other people hear things, they sense things, they feel things, they smell things, and that's how they receive this guided information. So when we connect with our drum, you know, we play it, and then we open ourselves up to really, like I said, listening, but not with our, you know, we're listening with our shamanic senses. We're feeling our way with our heart, and we're just tuning in to how that drum wants to be played, what it wants to be played with. And also, I've just done this with my students this weekend. We were asking, how does your drum want to be initiated? And sometimes our drums, the drum wants to, it will say, you know, we'd get a feeling of, you know what, I just want to leave the drum out in the full moon tonight so it can catch the moon. Or, you know what, my drum wants to sit with me under this oak tree. And it just wants me to play it here. So it's really interesting to ask and connect with our instruments or any other tools that we use in that way, and just see what they come up with. Listen, and then work with that. So just to give you an example, the drum I work with, the drum I was given when I attuned to Reiki drum all those years ago, I had a feeling that this drum wanted to be connected in a way to the Reiki symbols. There are some symbols that we learn in different levels of Reiki. And I didn't know, I wasn't sure when I, you know, came out and sort of back in reality, I was trying to puzzle this out. I was like, well, how am I going to do this? Because I don't want to be so obvious as to just draw them on the drumhead. That doesn't seem right. It felt like it had to be more subtle. So I left it, you know, a while, and I was thinking, how am I going to do this? And in the end, what's happened is at the back of the drum where I hold the drum, I have all these different coloured ribbons. And at the end of each ribbon, I have a wooden heart, actually, which on that heart has each, and you know, there's one for each of the symbols that I've placed there. So the drum carries the symbols, but they're not that visible. They're subtle. It's so, in a sense, that felt right to me. Whereas some people might think, oh, you know, I need to paint a big moon, or I need to paint a big deer head or a big bird or a spirit animal on their drum. And that's actually the wonderful thing about having a synthetic drum. And we call them vegan drums these days. I particularly love the Remo ones. They're really brilliant quality, and they are great because we can paint them with acrylic paints, which, you know, so they can really, in a sense, be tailored to you and your relationship that you have with that drum. And what I also love about these vegan drums, well, obviously, apart from the fact that they're vegan, so we don't have to worry about any animals being affected. But what's really wonderful about them is they hold their tune, they hold their quality of sound is brilliant. And I'm saying that from Scotland, and Scotland is damp. I'm often if I'm outside, it's damp and it's rainy. I live by the sea, so there's a sea air, so it's all very damp in the air, frizzy hair type of weather. And so actually, if you have an animal hide drum, they change in quality with this damp, humid weather, and they can often sound very flat. So that it's really wonderful that these vegan drums, they're great quality, and that it will always sound the same, and the quality is wonderful. So for me, I have several vegan drums because they're always magic to me. They're always going to, I can really rely on them. And that's really, really beautiful, like to have that connection with them.
So when you get a drum, a new drum, should you just consecrate it right immediately, or do you wait and kind of feel it out and how it should be with?
I'm a bit of a slow burner. I tend to feel things. I don't necessarily act immediately, though. If it's something that I feel instantly, then I will act immediately. But I think that's very individual. It depends. It really depends on the individual and the drum as well. For that, sometimes we just know and we go for it, and other times we kind of feeling our way with things. But I think it's really important to make the relationship with your drum from the beginning, you know. And you might know, I mean, often, you know, oftentimes when people want a drum, I say to the people, well, you know, call in your drum then. You know, if you're really, you know, really excited about getting started with drumming and you feel that it's time that you should get your own drum, then call it in and you know, put the feelers out, ask the universe for your drum, you know. And obviously it might help if you go to a few shops or websites which sell them and start looking around, but ask around and see if it flows to you. Because I've heard some lovely stories of that, and where people end up with these drums. Yes, yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah, you know, and you're talking about, you know, they're part of you. And I know my friend Dave the Bard, he talks about his instruments just as you're talking about the drums. Well, he's got drums too, harps and drums and everything, but they're family to him. They're not, you know, just something that you're going to pick up and use. And, you know, you have to get into that mode that, okay, this is just a piece of wood or hide or whatever. But then I suppose people that don't have that kind of imagination and want to do it, it wouldn't probably work for them, because they would just say, okay, well, this is a drum, boom, boom, boom. I think it's a certain type of person that opens up and can do it, and those are the ones that really do very well with it, right?
I think, I mean, I certainly, if you're drawn to the drum, you're going to be sensitive. You know, I had a student at the weekend who said to me, Faye, do you let people play your drums? Mm-hmm. And I'd say certainly one of my drums, no, that I actually and I don't think the drum wants to be played by anyone else either. So, and that's why it's interesting, you know, if you are into working with healing sound and tools, that's why I think in a sense we end up having, we gather them, because actually people will want to play with us. And it's lovely to have a drum that you're willing to share with people and that is willing to be played by others. But I certainly have a drum which I don't want it really to be played by others. And I don't think it wants to be played by others either. And I'll tell you a story. I think this is in the book, this story. So it was when it was years ago. I was studying a 3-year shamanic training, and we'd gone to our first weekend training, and we had a sort of gathering on the Friday evening, and then we were going to come back the next day and have a full weekend at this place. And I was very naively just kind of thought, well, okay, this is a lovely space. I'm just going to leave all my stuff here, and I'll nip off to my B&B and I'll come back in the morning. That's fine. So, you know, my yoga mat and my blanket and all the, I mean, people listening who go to these things, you'll understand, you end up with gear, you end up with stuff that you just carry in your water bottle and all the things that you like to take to a workshop and nestle in. Anyway, I left the drum and I was driving away, and I could hear that drum beating, and I could hear that drum. I could hear it angry with me, is all I can say. And I'm sure your listeners will understand that drum was not happy that I had left it, even though it was a gorgeous space. It was a sacred place. And my sense is that what I did is I didn't ask. I didn't say to the drum, is it OK? I'm going to leave you here. I just thought, oh, it's fine. I'll just leave it. Like you say, I just thought, oh, it's a drum. It's fine. And obviously I know better, and I should have known better. It's more than a drum, and it was beating. And the thing is, I was in the car. I was driving to the B&B. I couldn't go back because they'd shut the room. You know, they'd shut the building. Everything was shut down for the night. So I couldn't kind of go back and sneak the drum. So I was kind of like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll have to come and get you tomorrow. I'm really sorry. So I sort of had to do, I had to, you know, make amends there. And it's really interesting, you know, and some people listening will think, what on earth? But I have a feeling your listeners will understand. Yes. But somebody who isn't sort of into that would think, oh, you're just making all that up. You're having a bit of a story. And that's how connected I feel to that drum. And that is because that's one of the drums that's the drum that I've made. And I've spent, you know, a whole weekend working with that drum and sort of, if you like, putting a bit of me into that drum. And that's right. And if we make instruments, or if we make any of the special tools, if we like, that we use, or even if it's a pendant or something that we make and we wear it as part of ceremonial outfits, you know, we get connected. We are, these things are sacred to us. They're part of us. They're energetically entwined with us. And so, yes, that's been my experience with drums.
And it
helps us, you know, it, and I'm sure people who work with crystals will feel like this too. You know, you have a relationship with these things because we're connected. And actually the stronger that bond is, the more powerful it is when we're working in ceremony or in sacred space or in this healing capacity, and we know that we can rely on it and its power will help us.
You know, as usual, there are too many questions and not enough time. So this would be a good time for you to give out your website address and any courses or events that you have to mention coming up.
Oh, thank you. So my website is fayjohnston.com, and that's just my name, fayjohnston.com, and I'm sure that will be on the website too. And you'll find I have an online course actually which runs alongside the book, so it's connected to the book. So if you've read the book and you think, you know what, I really want to take this work with shamanic Reiki and drumming further, then I'm running it's a certification course. So or obviously you don't have to certify if you don't want to do case studies. You can just listen to the course and watch all the videos and get as much information as you want about how you work with the drum on a personal level or also in a professional practice with clients. I've also got an online course which is connected to that, my other book Plant Spirit Reiki, and that is connecting people to working with Reiki and working with the power of plants, which is, you know, really close to my heart. That's one of my favorite things to do. And actually this summer, so I live in Scotland, but if somebody is excited about coming to Scotland and wants to hang out for 4 or 5 days on my Plant Spirit Summer School, then I run that at the end of June. And it is an absolute, it's an amazing opportunity to immerse yourself in the spirit of the plants and to receive plant medicine and brilliant teachings from the plants. And I'm sure they'll be drumming in that. There'll be flower essences, beautiful plant blessings and ceremonies. So that's my sort of, if you like, my big event that I do in person. And there's also, I have a beautiful seaside garden space. It's about half an hour from Edinburgh Airport and in the country. And it's a really wonderful space. And I do have a yurt here as well, so I can take overnight stays, and we do private retreats here as well. So that's in a way the best way to connect with me. But if you want to connect with me online, I have a community. You can go to my website and sign up, and then you'll get information from me. And we do, if you're a paid subscriber, we do monthly meetups online, which are sometimes ceremony, sometimes qigong, sometimes healing, depending on the flow of things. So that's an idea of how to connect and work with me.
All right. In the next couple of minutes, what other guidance can you offer Reiki practitioners who feel called by the drum?
My guidance would be to, first and foremost, I would say if you can't get hold of a drum, don't panic. You know, you can still connect. And like I was talking about working with drumming tracks, you can work with a drumming track so that you can, if you like, master this way of connecting to the shamanic journey and meeting guides and, you know, this element of shamanic practice. And then, you know, the next step is if you can get to a space where other people are drumming to kind of connect with the drum in that way. But really, you know, it's a game changer. If you can get your hands on a drum, if you can call that drum to you, then it's really going to add such a level of dynamism, just to, not only to your personal life, but also to any client practice that you work with. So call the drum to you and actually the most important journey to do at the start, you know, not aside from connecting to your drum, is to meet a guide, you know, connect with guides, because they, you know, we're led by spirit. We don't do this by ourselves. And so that's really important as well, to journey, to meet a guide to help you with your shamanic Reiki practice, and that's the best guide for you.
Yeah, just open up to the universal people up there listening down on us, and you know, just open up and you'll get what you need. Some people say that's too simplistic, but it really isn't. But that's for a whole nother show. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I always thank the listeners as well for tuning in. And so you take care. And until the next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.